single Oladamare Jenyami Olarun God Jehovah Allah Amen Ra, the many names for the original ancestor, ancestor who sees all and knows all, the creator of the heavens and the earth. We do not pour libation to you, but this morning we come pouring libation in memory and honor of our ancestors and asking them to intercede with you on our behalf. We know that our ancestors, being in the spirit world, are closer to you, and there's a greater opportunity that our request will be granted. We ask this morning that you grant the listeners the willingness to open their hearts and their minds to the information that's going to be shared, such that they will hear the truth and then be able to act on the truth. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. To our ancestors from Mother Africa, the ancestors who were the beginning of the human family that we now have, no matter what your ethnic or cultural background is, the beginning of human life as we know it was on the African continent. Every person on the face of the earth has as their original ancestor an African. We ask those Africans who were the first to conceive of a family, the first to plant a seed, the first to till the land, the first to domesticate animals, the first to navigate the mighty Nile River to Egypt, the first to build a skyscraper, the first to do surgeries, the first to explore the wonders of the galaxy, and as importantly, the first to conceive of the belief in one God. We ask those ancestors to come and be with us today, to bring their wisdom, their hard work, their ingenuity to all that we do. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. To our ancestors who were murdered, displaced, diminished during our great Holocaust, our great Miafa, we do not forget you. We remember your unwilling sacrifice as your bodies are lined the Sahara and the Atlantic Ocean. We remember you and we honor you and we ask that you come and be with us today. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. We ask our ancestors who gave us the great document, the Ma'at, to come be with us, bring your additional sense of honor and integrity as embodied by Ma'at to our discussions and our listings this morning. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. To those ancestors from the Caribbean islands, from Brazil, from the southern parts of these United States, who through your unpaid labor laid the groundwork for the civilizations that are enjoyed by billions of people around the world. To those ancestors, we say we do not forget you. We remember your sacrifice, your hard work. And we ask that you come and be with us today to inspire us to also do the work required to correct a world that has gone mad. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. And to those ancestors who are yet to be born, those ancestors for whom we do good work, those ancestors to whom we pledge to honorably do righteous work all the time for ourselves, for our families, for our communities, so we can be correct to be able to benefit from the largesse that the Creator has provided for all of us. Ancestors, we pledge ourselves to continue to do work such that when you return, this place will be a better earth. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. And finally, we'd like to ask you and our audience to think of one of your ancestors, someone who you would like to be with us this morning. On the count of three, ask that ancestor to come and be with us. One, two, three. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation, libation, libation. It is good.
People use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
Intimacy.
Honesty.
Commitment. You. Me. Us.
If I were a boy, even just for a day, I'd roll out of bed in the morning and throw on what I wanted and go. Drink beer with the guys and chase after girls. I kicked it with who I wanted, and I never could confront it for it, 'cause they stick up for me. If I
think that I was sleeping alone. I put myself first and make the rules as I go. Cause I know that she'd be faithful, waiting for me.
Makes me look or feel.
Act like what? Why are you so jealous? It's not like I'm sleeping with a guy.
What?
What?
I said, yo, why are you so jealous? It ain't like I'm sleeping with the girl.
Just a boy who don't understand.
You are listening to Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Hotep and good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Hopefully you are doing well today. Welcome to the After 7 radio program with the wonderful group of young ladies. They will be hosting a very dynamic conversation with you very shortly, and I'm sure that you will enjoy. We always appreciate you for your participation and your patronage of our network. The After 7 radio program is an affiliate of the Black Reality Think Tank radio group, and we're so appreciative of them, and we love them to death, and we thank you for again, supporting the work that they do. We'll talk about some of the other programs that are part of the family of the Black Reality Think Tank, as well as the Time for an Awakening. We operate on the Time for an Awakening media platform that we do here, which is also a part of the Black Talk Radio Network. And so thank you again. And at this point, I'm going to get right into the conversation with the young ladies, and I'll introduce you to Maya Marie. Good afternoon, my sister.
Good afternoon, Dr. Rogers. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Yes, thank you for having us. Hey, everybody. It's your girl, Maya Marie, and welcome again to the After 7 radio show. Our ancestral profile for tonight is the beautiful and courageous Coretta Scott King. Coretta Scott King was born April 27, 1927, in Heimberger, Alabama. She was an African-American author, activist, civil rights leader, and the wife of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. The third of four children, Coretta attended Lincoln High School in Marion, Alabama. Her last 2 years there, she became the lead soprano for the school's senior chorus. In addition to participating in the chorus, she also participated in the school musicals and graduated valedictorian from Lincoln in 1945. After graduation from Lincoln, Coretta enrolled at Antioch College in Yellow Springs, Ohio. She studied music there and became politically active due largely to her experience of racial discrimination by the local school board. She joined the Antioch chapter of the NAACP and the college's Race Relations and Civil Liberties Committee. She transferred out of Antioch when she won a scholarship to the New England Conservatory of Music in Boston. While studying there, she met Martin Luther King, Jr. Upon meeting her, Martin would tell her that she had all the qualities that he was looking for in a wife, which she dismissed because they only had just met. They continued to see each other, and a year later, they married on the lawn of her mother's house in a ceremony performed by Martin Luther King, Sr. It's been said that Coretta had the vow to obey her husband removed from the ceremony, which was unusual at that time. After completing her degree in voice and piano at the New England Conservatory, she moved with Martin to Montgomery, Alabama in 1954. There, Martin became the pastor of Dexter Avenue Baptist Church. It was a sacrifice for Coretta, as she had to give up her dreams of becoming a classical singer. But her devotion to the cause, while giving up her own ambition, would become symbolic of the actions of African American women during the movement. The couple soon found themselves in the middle of the Montgomery bus boycott, and Martin was elected the leader of the protest movement. The couple had come to believe in nonviolent protest as a way of expression consistent with biblical teaching. There were death threats, a shooting, a stabbing, and even a bombing of their home. But Coretta stood by Martin's side supporting him. She took an active role in advocating for civil rights legislation and committed herself more deeply to the freedom struggle. Coretta worked hard to pass the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and often joined her husband in the marches he would lead. She also criticized the sexism of the civil rights movement, saying that not enough attention had been focused on the roles played by women in the struggle. She felt that women were the backbone of the civil rights movement, and it has even been mentioned that Martin himself limited Coretta's role in the movement and expected her to be a housewife. That didn't stop her, though, as she participated in a women's strike for peace protest in January 1968 in D.C. with over 5,000 women. In honor of the first woman to be elected to the House of Representatives, the group was called the Jeanette Rankin Brigade. She also co-chaired the Congress of Women Conference with Pearl Willen and Mary Clark. Even after Martin's assassination, Coretta continued to fight for civil rights and took the helm of the movement. Eventually, she broadened her focus to include women's rights, LGBTQ rights, economic issues, world peace, and various other causes. She founded the Martin Luther King Jr. Center for Nonviolent Social Change in Atlanta. She also published her memoirs, My Life with Martin Luther King Jr. in 1969, and she fought for years tirelessly to make Martin's birthday a national holiday. And aren't we glad that she succeeded? She said there should be at least one national holiday a year in tribute to an African-American man, and Martin, her baby, was the best candidate. Coretta fought to preserve her husband's legacy and played a prominent role in the movement years after Martin's assassination. She has been referred to as the First Lady of the Civil Rights Movement, and tonight we honor and salute Mrs. Coretta Scott King. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to go ahead and get this show cracking. We're talking about an issue tonight that we're starting to see more and more, reverse gender roles. So I'm going to go ahead and toss it over to my girl, Shani B.
All right. Thank you, Maya Marie. That was a dope, oh my God, ancestral profile. And it shows not only her feminine side, but her strong leadership skills as being, you know, on the front line in the civil rights movement. I just love it. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that. So, you know, we're not going to, you know, freight too long on this topic. We're going to jump right into it. We have a zestful topic that we are going to be discussing. It's, you know, roles, gender roles being reversed. And I myself, you know, I don't know. I'm kind of like on a fence with this. You know, I have my own personal viewpoints, but you know, we're gonna open up the conversation and we're gonna get to the topic. But before, without further ado, I want to introduce, you know, the lovely ladies, the other two ladies that are on the panel, Lady V and Tavy. Can y'all say what's up to our audience? Tavy.
And good afternoon.
Hello. Hey. So are you guys excited to have this conversation tonight? I mean, I know we've been talking about this for a couple of days, you know, planning the topic out. And I know we've had some passionate conversations around gender roles. So what do you guys think about reverse gender roles?
I'll go. I always want my man to be a man. So whatever that means to me, right? Mm-hmm. So, I'm not opposed to my man staying at home if necessary, but it would totally have to be a if necessary situation.
And what do you mean by if necessary? Can you paint that out for our audience? Because I think I know where you're coming from, because I think I feel the same way. But can we elaborate on that for our listening audience members?
Sure. So if my daughter's older, so say we had a younger child and he needed to take care of the baby, being that, you know, he could do so with his job, or maybe he got hurt, or maybe my income is more than he is, it works out best for our lifestyle, something like that.
Okay. And V, I know, Lady V, I know you've had a similar situation. You were in a situation where you had a reverse role with your ex-husband. Can you explain a little bit about that? What do you think about reverse gender roles?
I mean, I'm for it. I don't feel like it's something to look down upon just because we don't give our men as much credit, because sometimes the man may just be a better nurturer to our kids than a mother can, and that's just honest, like the honest truth. And mine, we were still married at the time. He wasn't working, he was a full-time student, and our son was, he was younger, so he stayed at home with our oldest son and our baby boy. And honestly, I felt like it was great just because he was able to give our son some stuff that I couldn't. Like, of course, our mommy is the boo-boo, but for him, like my son, he just loved being with his dad. It was just something about that daddy-brother bond that he was able to get that he normally, if he with me, he doesn't get that with me. He gets a whole different side. And, I mean, we had our bumps in the road. It wasn't perfect, because there was some times where I just felt like he wasn't doing enough or something. But I had to check myself as to, he's a man, so he's not going to do everything how I would want it to be, but he's doing what he can do the way he can do it, on top of still doing his so-called, I guess, manly duty.
Okay, so hold on to that thought about nurturing, because that's going to be one of my follow-up questions, my second question. But before we move on, I want to go to Maya. Maya, what do you think?
Well, I think it depends on what we're talking about. When we talk about reverse gender roles, I think it depends on the situation and what we're talking about. I'm not opposed to a man staying at home with the children, like what we're talking about in that case. But there are other different, you know, there are several different other aspects that we can think of when we talk about gender, you know, reverse gender roles. And those, you know, I may be opposed to. So I think it kind of depends on what we're talking about when we say reverse gender roles. If we're talking about a woman doing a job that is typically supposed to be for a man, I'm all for that. because sometimes that's okay. But other than that, you know, there are several different situations that we could talk about when we talk about reverse gender roles. So I think it just kind of depends on what aspect or what point of that we're talking about.
Well, I think we're talking about all aspects. And, you know, for myself, I am not sure if I could be in a relationship with someone who wanted to stay home and take care of the kids. You know, I think for me, I would probably look at him as being less than a man. And that's just me. I know I'm not right for saying that. I know that's a horrible thing to say. I know I'm so wrong for saying it, and I'm telling y'all, I am wrong for saying it. So any single dads that's out there, well, not single dads, but dads that's out there at home with your kids, do not listen to me. I am one person, and the views of the individual does not, you know what I'm saying, have anything to do with this panel.
But you know, I think that's how you feel. It's not necessarily that it's wrong. Mm-hmm. That's how you feel. You know what I'm saying? So own that and take ownership of that. That's how you feel. Don't say that, you know it's wrong or you think it's wrong. It's not wrong. It's your truth. That's how you feel.
My mind gets so turned to the left on this whole situation. I would want a man to do everything that a woman is expected to do in that reverse gender role. So I think it's wrong for me to even think that way, because it demasculates the man, and that's not who I am, and that's not what I want to be. So
it could be from your past, you know, your childhood, however you
did,
or your uncle, or you know, your brother. So I don't think it's like that. I think it's just the way you grew up. So that's why I'm saying what I'm saying. I haven't seen a man take care of a child, so I don't feel comfortable. I don't believe that could, you know, to be true, to be able to happen. So that's just what I grew up like.
Okay, so that goes into my follow-up question. Do you guys feel that men can be better nurturers than women? Because V said, you know, and V, I'm going to kick this to you first. You may mention that your son, your ex, was a better nurturer to your son. What do you think about that? Do you feel that men are better nurturers than women?
No, I'm not going to say that. I feel like it can be possible depending on the circumstances. And I guess for me, one, he had already had a son. My stepson, I think he was probably 9 at that time. So it's like he already had an older son, and he already knew, like, this whole life of boys and stuff. And, of course, he is a boy. And then for me, it was just like, this is my first child. I was trying to not be super overprotective. Like, I had just started, like, letting go of some of my protectiveness. And when he wasn't working and out of school, it was just like, well, why don't you just keep the kids for the summer versus him having to go to daycare every day? Why don't you do it? And I saw a softer side of him. He, like you guys were saying, he always had to be the hard, tough person. He was in the military. He was infantry. So trust and believe, his manhood, I never challenged his manhood. He's all man 100%. But to see a softer side of him, honestly, it was kind of attracting, just because it was just like, oh, you can be nurturing. You can be sweet. You can be soft. Like, he would show me those things sometimes, but it was a whole different type of showing when I saw when it was with our son. So I felt like it just kind of depends. And because I'm a great nurturer when it comes to my kids, like my son and my daughter, but he gives them a different part of nurturing. And I feel like for all kids, we need a balance of the two. Like, my dad wasn't the best nurturer, but my dad did watch me for a short period of time when I was younger, because he hurt himself at work, so he was off of work for a couple months because of his injury, and he cared for me. He wasn't the best nurturer, but he did still nurture me. He taught me to toughen up a little bit, you know, versus my mom coddling me all the time. It was like, no, toughen up, get up, get your butt up. You okay, you not dying, type of thing. So it's just a different type of nurture, I feel like.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you for that. My experience was a little bit different. My father was a horrible nurturer. Like, he didn't, you know, he didn't allow me to cry. He didn't allow me to be feminine. He didn't allow me to be a girl. Like, he honestly raised me like a little boy. And that's why I was boxing by the age of 7, you know, and lifting weights. So when I look at my upbringing, I don't see that nurturing side in my father. You know, I mean, he was all about action, you know, feelings, they didn't matter. But let's kick it over to Maya. Maya Marie, what do you think? Is it possible for a man to be more nurturing than a woman?
I think it's definitely possible. You know, there are some women who aren't, they have children and they're not nurturing at all. I've seen women who have had children and they don't nurture their children at all. Mm-hmm. And the dad is the one that usually takes on that role to nurture the child and to be there for the child. So I think it's definitely possible. I think the majority of the time it is the mom that's the more nurturing parent. But I think it's definitely possible, and I've seen it happen, where the dad or the man is the more nurturing parent. So I think it's definitely possible. It happens.
Thank you so much for that. We're going to kick it over to my girl, Tavy. Tavy, is it possible for a man to be more nurturing than a woman?
It's certainly possible. Again, I just never seen it for myself, but it's certainly possible, especially little girls with their dad. And I know little boys these days don't have many father figures, but I think when they do come across one, it's just everything. The bond is everything, but it's certainly possible. You just don't see it as often.
Right.
Okay, so that brings me to my next question. How can I say this? Does being a stay-at-home dad take a toll on a man's ego? Does it make him insecure? And V, I think I'm going to start you off because you are, you know, one of the people who basically dealt with this. You know, like you've been in a situation with a man who actually stayed home with his kids. Did that play a role on him being insecure, or, you know, tell us a little bit about that.
I think for us, I want to say, I feel like it definitely did. I don't know if it made him feel like less than a man, but I do feel from my own experience and my take on it, I did feel like he felt insecure because he wasn't out making the money all the time, or making the money that he used to, because he was always used to providing for us. And so for me to take care of all the bills, and then he's just taking care of like the little stuff, and I'm doing the majority of the work, I feel like he did feel like a little insecure. I don't know if he felt like his manhood was being taken, only because he did enjoy staying at home with our boys. I can say they wore him out, so I was kind of happy about that. For the fact that he understood, like, it's a job. Like, this is a full-time job at all times. But, yeah, I can't say if he felt like his manhood was ever threatened. He probably felt like I threatened his manhood because it was like, dang, my girl out here making the money and I'm sitting at home taking care of these kids. So he probably felt some kind of way because we raise our boys to provide and protect. You know, we don't tell them, like, to show their emotions and stuff like that. It's always, like, this is what you're supposed to do as a man. But we fail to realize that, like, as women, we're always looking for more when we're looking for a man. So it's just, like, these are some things that wasn't instilled in him. So it's, like, I had to teach him some other stuff. So I don't know if he felt insecure. I will have to probably teaching, ask him if he felt
I gotta insecure. Ask you this. I'm not trying to pick on you, but I gotta ask you. So are you teaching your man this, or are you teaching the children? Because that went in. I don't know. Were you teaching him that, or were you teaching the children? Because you also uplifted the... Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was going to say, well, for me, I do teach my son how to do a lot of stuff. Like, my son knows how to clean up. He knows how to wash dishes, take care of himself, fold laundry. Because I don't feel like everything has to be a woman's job. You know, as when I was growing up, it was like the woman takes care of the house, she does this, she does that. And my dad, he didn't do laundry, he didn't do anything inside our house. He did everything on the outside. But I feel like there are some things that you can do. Like, you can throw a load of towels in the washer. Like, that doesn't make you less of a man. So my son does know how to do that. his dad knows how to do it now. Like, he didn't really do that at first. Or, I mean, if he did, he just kind of, actually, he just sucked at laundry. But he knows how to do it now better. So I do teach him some things that he was kind of taught, but not really taught, because his mom took care of everything. So I don't want to say it makes him insecure. It makes him feel better to know that he can help out. He takes some things off my plate. Because as women, there's so much that we put on our plate. Who's to say who has to do what? It's a shared load. If we're together, why can't we share it together and do it together? We'll accomplish it a whole lot faster. Mm-hmm.
So I want to hone in on the fact that you said you teach your children to protect and I think it was protect and provide. So why is it okay for the man not to protect and provide, the men, you know, that their example, their father? Why is it okay for him? I mean, he's protecting the children by staying home, but how do you justify that? Because for me, what I look, and I'm not picking on you, like what I look at when my father, you know, when he raised me, and I was a kid that actually lived in a household with him. When he had to go out and make moves and he owned his own store, like I was there with him in the store. So that's how he provided for us. He protected us and stuff like that. He made us work for everything, you know, so that was like my first example. So do you think, how do you connect the two? How do those two run in concert with each other? The protecting and providing. Can you give us
I guess, like, right off the bat, my kids, they know their dad is a protector just because they feel like dad is big, he's stronger than mom, he does everything. They just, in their mind, dad is bigger than mommy, so in their mind, dad is a protector at all times. And even when we're together, the way he covers us and protects us when we're out in places, they just get that feel. When it comes to the providing part, I don't even think we make it a thing just because they don't know. Like, they don't see it. They don't know who's doing what. They'll see mommy pull out money, or they'll see daddy pull out money. And sometimes, the reason why I say they don't know is because most of the time I hold his wallet. When we're together, I have his wallet in my purse. So they don't know if it's daddy's card or mommy's card. Like, it's just mommy and daddy bought it. Who bought it? Mommy and daddy bought it. They don't know who's providing what in their mind.
Okay. Tavy, we're going to kick it over to you. What do you think about that question? Do you feel that, you know, a man who stays at home, you know, a stay-at-home dad will feel insecure? Is it a hit on his ego for stay-at-home dads?
I think these days, I'm yet to run across a man that wants to stay at home. And, I mean, typically most men believe being a provider is actually going outside to get the money. So, I really know a lot of outspoken, hardworking women. So I don't know how that would sit, you know, how well that would sit in the household when it comes to taking care of things, like adding additional bills, or, you know, like, could he really have say-so in the house and be respected? So you can take out the trash and everything, but when it comes to extra cable channels, things like that, you know, buying a pool table or going on a trip, do you really have say so? So I haven't seen it happening. So I haven't seen a strong, healthy relationship where the man stayed at home, but I don't believe that they're respected these days, especially in our generation, personally, if there are any.
Okay. Thank you for the feedback. Maya Marie, we're going to kick it over to you. Now, you know the question, does being a stay-at-home dad take a toll on a man's ego and make him insecure? What is your take on that question?
Well, first, I would have to say that's something you would have to ask that man. I can't really answer for that man because I think that everybody is different and everybody has their own upbringing and their own feelings and opinions about that situation. As far as having a man that wants to stay at home with his child, and I know, Tavy, like you were saying, you haven't seen it where it's been successful. But I have. I've had close friends and close family members that
the woman is the one who has the 9-to-5, and the man, he's the one that has stayed at home. He takes care of the house. He cooks. He makes sure the kids are good. And I know that, you know, it's been, you know, we're talking about his ego and respect. But just like when women stay home and take care of the household and take care of the kids and cook and clean and do all of that, and how we mentioned how that is another job, it's clean. That is being the person who nurtures the children, being the person who takes care of the home, being the person who takes care of all of the stuff that is going on in the house. That is a job that is to be respected. When women do it, we respect them because it is a job. It doesn't stop. It goes from the time that you wake up until the time you lay down and go to bed. Mm-hmm. So just because it's a woman that's doing it or it's a man doing it, it shouldn't be any different. So I would never just say that a man is less of a man because he stays at home, because he's doing a job that doesn't stop. When mm-hmm. we go to work, we to a job, we work from 9-to-5, or we have our set hours. And when that time, that last hour go, that last minute, we clocking out, we going home. The person who takes care of the house, that does not stop.
But it does, though. You know, when the woman gets home, they share that responsibility. I'm sure of it. But to say that, I think that comes with growth and maturity. Because I can't really, this is from what I see from women around our age. For me to have to give you spending money, for me to have to ask you questions knowing that it's all my money, that comes with growth and maturity. And if you haven't grown up like that to see healthy situations like that, we wouldn't know. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I feel like they're disrespected. They're treated as bums. But if you're saying, you know, you have family members that actually put in that work, that make sure the kids go to school, make sure they attend the activities at school, make sure they do the cooking and cleaning and all those things, that's mm-hmm. different what we see these days. Yeah, he probably doesn't, he goes to get the kids, but I still have to come home and clean up and all that kind of stuff. So that's what we typically hear these days. So
when we're talking about a man who is sharing in the responsibilities of the household, his wife or his woman or whatever the case may be, she's going to work at her 9-to-5. Now, when we're talking about a real man, a manly man, he's going to take care of all of that. And I've seen that. I have a family member who takes care of the house totally. Right. When she comes home, she doesn't have to worry about any of that. So my thing is, if it's a situation where the woman is going to work and the man is staying at home. Now, if he at home playing video games and he not doing shit, that's not a man. I'm not talking about those kinds of men. Right. I'm talking about a real man who's going to take care of the house. He's going to make sure the kids are good, and he's going to make sure I'm good when I come home, because I'm the one going out and I'm being stressed at work and I'm dealing with people at my job. So a real man, and the men that I know, they're going to make sure that everything is good so that when she comes home, she don't have to worry about that. The other dudes that let the chicks go to work and they playing video games and they ain't nothing at home, those are bums. That's not a man. That's a bum. Mm-hmm.
So I know that when I was a stay-at-home mom, I think the insurance company that we looked for to insure us, they gave a face value on stay-at-home parents of, I think, 60,000 to 70,000. So I understand where you're coming from, Maya, from that aspect. Yeah, if they're doing the work, if they're actually doing the cleaning and the cooking, you know, right, and nurturing the children, yeah, that's a job within itself. And we never want to discredit what somebody's doing, you know, if they're actually doing it. You know, but that brings me to my next question. Do you guys think that the way a person is raised can affect their gender identity?
For sure. So that's when you get into the men and then the boys. So most men grow up, well, most of the males grow up in single parent households with just their mother, and she doesn't require them to do a number of things. So they don't know how to be a man most of the time. So that's just the way they grow up. So I certainly think so.
I completely agree with you. You know, Charles Darwin said, you are a product of your environment. So we're going to go to Maya, since, you know, you already ready, sister. I already know you're ready to answer this question. Go ahead.
Well, I'm not sure if I understand the question, because when I hear gender identity, I'm thinking of people who grew up and they're not sure, you know, they were born a man and they want to be.
Nope, this ain't that conversation. Yeah, this ain't that conversation.
When you're talking about gender identity, what do you mean?
So I'm talking about, like, how do you identify? Like Malcolm X said, you know, provide, protect, and what was the third P? I know Dr. Rogers knows it, but it's at the tip of my tongue and I'm not. Profess. Okay, provide, protect, profess. You know, that's not the case nowadays. These men aren't doing, they not providing. Half of them barely protect us, you know what I'm saying? And get a man to profess, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to say all men, but a lot of men, you know, or a lot of boys. Do you think that has something to do the upbringing of a man? And I think everybody pretty much was in agreement when they said, you know, it does. So we're just highlighting that and just want to direct more attention to a response towards that. Do you feel that a person's upbringing has anything to do with their gender identity, like how they identify being a man or what a man should be?
Well, I think absolutely. I absolutely think that the way that we grow up shapes who we are as adults. So, you know, a lot of times, and then, you know, it just depends. I think it all depends because everybody is different. You know, there are women, there are mothers who are raising men. I'm talking about real men, real successful men, and men who have wives. You know, they're not out here playing in the street. They take care of their family, and they didn't have a dad in their life. You know, I have cousins who grew up without a dad. They didn't have their dad for years, and I'm talking about years, okay? And their mom raised them, and it was a lot of them. And they grew up to be successful men, fathers. They are married to their wives, their children's mothers. And they are all successful. And they all grew up without a dad. Because sometimes I think that the lack of the father in the home, that puts a fire under them to want to be better men. I have seen it. I know people that their fathers wasn't shit, wasn't in the house, never came around, never did for them. But they have grown up to be the complete opposite. Right. And they are better fathers than their biological father could ever be. So I do think there is a part of it. You know, we are the product of our environment. But then sometimes I think it fuels some people to be better and to overcome their situation and their environment.
All right. V, we're going to kick it over to you. What do you think?
I do think the way you're raised has a big impact on you. The way you're raised, the way your impact on the environment, everything, like, everything takes a toll onto how you're going to be as a human being. Whether you're going to be, if you were just, like, sheltered, you might just be that person that don't know much of half of anything just because you were sheltered and protected from everything. So everything else may just be a shocker to you as you grow up. But for, like, young men, like, Miss Wright was saying, sometimes you can raise them and then they grow up to be the complete opposite just because of what they saw. They don't want to be like that. But it takes a person to want to be different. Like they say, you got to break generational curses. So I know for me, I wanted to break some generational curses for sure. And then even with my kids, I do. Like I just, like I said earlier, I raised my son to be a helper. I want him to be a helpmate to whoever I groom him to, you know, get married to, because I don't want his wife to feel like she has to do it all. I want her to know that she got someone that supports her, that can help her take some stuff off her plate. But I'm also hoping that he finds someone that she does the same thing too. Like, I don't want them to feel like they have to do everything or be in these roles that we deem upon them, like, oh, well, you're a woman, so you're supposed to do this, this, and this, and because you're a man, you do this. I'm gonna be honest, I know a lot, a shitload about cars, and my other half, he hated it, because it was just like, he felt like as a guy, that was something that he was supposed to do. But my dad taught me how to do a tune-up, change a tire, all of it. My dad had five girls, and for him, he felt like, I'm raising girls, I need y'all to know that sometimes niggas ain't shit, and y'all need to know how to do this. Like, I hate to say that, but that's how he felt. I got five girls, I got one son. And my son, he knows how to do stuff, but my daughters, I need y'all to know too, just because you never know. Yeah. And my other half hated it. So, you know, it's just how you're raised.
Okay. Well, I want to address the elephant in the room. We're all black women sitting up on this panel, and we all have been raised, you know, to be independent. I want to say, to some aspect, you know, I want to know, why are black women taught to live without men, meaning taught to be independent and not depend on a man, when other races are taught how to keep them? So, I ain't gonna make y'all fight for this question first, but I think I want to kick it over to Maya. What do you think about that question?
Why are you gonna kick it over to me first?
Because I want you to answer this authentically, and I really want to know. Why are we taught to be independent women? I ain't gonna sing the song, but why are we taught to be independent when other women are taught how to keep a man?
I think that has to do with culture, you know, in our culture. And when we talk about this, you know, our Caucasian young ladies, our white girls, you know, they are taught to, and not all of them, you know, I'm talking of, in generally speaking, you know, everybody is different. So I'm not talking about everybody. But we raised to, you know, think that, hey, you know what I mean? You got to grow up, you know, get you a husband and, you know, do what you can to keep your husband, you know, that kind of thing, you know, different cultures. In our African-American community, I believe that because in our culture, you know, we don't see marriages like we used to. My grandparents were married for 60 years, okay, and we don't see that in our time today. So, you know, in a situation back in the day, you know, my grandmother married my grandfather when she was 17. And she was with him until he left this earth, 60 years. So nowadays, because our parents or us, you know, we not married. You know, we don't have a husband living in the household. So, you know, we're raising our children to be independent and do things for themselves because they may not have a man. And I don't think that, you know, and I don't think it's like there's nothing wrong. I just think that it's different because of our culture. You know, in our society, we are raised to be independent and do things for ourselves because there may not be a man around. Whereas in other cultures, they may be teaching their children that you need to have a man and you need to keep your man. So I think it's just a cultural thing.
Okay, so I want to uplift that it's not just white women that are taught. It's also black women. Black women, but all other races, like literally all other races are taught how to make a man happy, to please them and all this other stuff. But our mothers, they teaching us something totally different. So, Tavy, I'm going to kick this over to you, and then we're going to kick it to V, and then Dr. Rogers, I'm going to ask you for your historical viewpoint on this question, because I know what you're going to say. I took your Afrocology classes, so I kind of know where you're coming. Well, that's the psychic in me. Let me chill out. But Tavy, why are black women taught to live without a man, and white women and other races are taught how to keep them?
I agree with Maya with that, the culture piece. And most families, they're single parent families, so that's just the way that you see it, you know? And most, like, I know my grandmother, for instance, she got married, but I never met my grandfather. How crazy that sounds, but he was never around. But I think that was just always something that happened, that the man went off somewhere. So that's all they knew, were to take care of themselves. So they raised their children, their daughters, the same way. But we also don't speak marriage in our households. most of the time. So I agree with Maya wholeheartedly with that.
Okay, thank you very much. And callers, if you guys are listening live, you can always give us a call at 215-490-9832. And Lady V, I'm kicking this question over to you. You already know what the question is. Why are black women taught to be independent and other races are taught how to keep a man?
I think I want to go with the consensus here. Everybody pretty much said it. It's just like with us, sometimes we get into a state where our men are not around. They're taken from us because society takes them from us or the justice system takes them from us. And with that, then we have to learn how to be independent on our own. We have a lot more broken homes than white cultures or other cultures, actually, just because a lot of them, they don't believe in divorce, like, wholeheartedly. In black African-Americans, we didn't believe in divorce either, but it's a lot more prominent now with our culture to get divorced. A lot of us are giving up on marriages, don't want to be married. So it's just, I feel like for us, we've been put in positions where we just have to be the independent parent and be that independent person. Whereas, like everyone else said before, the other cultures, they're taught how to keep their husbands happy and be submissive more. So I feel like us as black women, some of us, we're hard-headed as hell. We don't, if you can't offer and bring enough to my table for me to actually bow down and be submissive, for us, it's just, we're not going, period. We're not going.
Okay. Well, Dr. Rogers, I know I've taken your Afrocology classes, and I know that a lot of what we deal with current day is a result from slavery and a result from us looking at, you know, the white man as master and, you know, him having a more influence in our lives than, I want to say, than our husbands. And I know a lot of people may disagree, but, you know, I feel like this is a direct result from, and just, you know, from slavery. And yes, we had a influx of marriages and people, you know, committing and all that other stuff. But I think with not addressing the issues that trauma that we dealt with, you know, is kind of trickling in to current day. So Dr. Rogers, can you answer that question for us? Why are black women taught to be strong, independent women, and other races are taught how to keep a man?
Excellent conversation tonight, too. This is really great. I really admire you all for tackling these kinds of questions and issues. But let me remind you, you know, slavery was very clearly a disruptor. It was an impact issue. But we as African people have 2,000 years of history before slavery. And you don't kill that. You can't kill that history. And it's in that history that really the woman, the matriarch, was the ruler of the village. She was the one that ran stuff, you know. So when we look today at some of the things you see, like the Big Mama concept and the role that women take, women have always been very dominant and strong. In the African tradition, men would go to the women for advice. They were the ones that would provide the direction. And a lot of that is rooted in the idea that we know that you are the womb. And it's in the womb, which is the incubator for life, that we come forth. And so, obviously, we would give homage to the woman more so than we do to the male. Now, obviously, they all play an equal role, but very clearly, though, that matriarchal system was very powerful in traditional Africa. Slavery disrupted that. It disrupted that, and because of the European indoctrination of patriarchal, they are very patriarchal. Everything is male-dominated. That wasn't the way the world was run and started in the early years. And so that disruption was that it enforced a male system, and the woman was abused, she was misused, she was made to look, she carried a triple burden. And as a result of that, we were forced into some of those ideas and things that definitely were not our culture and were not part of us. Now, I agree that now it has happened, a lot of situations. But again, if you go back to trying to heal and make a change, it starts with you, the woman. You're the womb. You know, you've got the male, you've got the female, 9 months before the world ever touches them. And it's in that incubator 9 month period that you begin your nurturing and teaching. You know that as a mother. You know, that's where it begins. And then the male has to be taught to learn how to respond to his to the female. My parents taught me how to respond to women and the respect that I needed to show in our community. I'd get punished for that quicker than I would anything else if I disrespected a woman in any way whatsoever. So that's historical. That's the historical roots of it. Is Africa was a matriarchal system. It operated in a structure that all were involved, but the woman was very clearly at the head of that family role. It was her lineage that a lot of times you understood the historical connections of things. It came through the matriarch, the woman system of things. So that's my take on it, and I think that. But I think you have a dynamic conversation going, really good.
Thank you.
Okay. All right.
We all agree tonight, all of the speakers have agreed, that America has a very serious problem. Not only does America have a very serious problem, but our people have a very serious problem. America's problem is us. We're her problem. The only reason she has a problem is she doesn't want us here. And every time you look at yourself, be you black, brown, red, or yellow, a so-called Negro, you represent a person who poses such a serious problem for America because you're not wanted. Once you face this as a fact, then you can start plotting a course that will make you appear intelligent instead of unintelligent. What you and I need to do is learn to forget our differences. When we come together, we don't come together as Baptists or Methodists. You don't catch hell because you're a Baptist, and you don't catch hell because you're a Methodist. You don't catch hell because you're a Methodist or a Baptist. You don't catch hell because you're a Democrat or a Republican. You don't catch hell because you're a Mason or an Elk. And you sure don't catch hell because you're an American, because if you was an American, you wouldn't catch no hell. You catch hell because you're a black man. You catch hell, all of us catch hell for the same reason. So we are all black people, so-called Negroes, second-class citizens, ex-slaves. You are nothing but an ex-slave. You don't like to be told that. But what else are you? You are ex-slave. You didn't come here on the Mayflower. You came here in a slave ship, in chains, like a horse or a cow or a chicken. And you were brought here by the people. Baby girls,
baby boys. Man make them happy, 'cause man make them toys. And how can man make everything, everything he can? And you know that man makes money to buy from other men. This is a man's world, but it wouldn't be nothing, nothing, not one little thing without a woman or a girl. He's lost in the wilderness. He's lost and bitterness.
You are listening to Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Okay, we are back, ladies. I'll turn it over to you, Jenny.
Oh, I'm
going
to take
it,
Dr. Lady B. So we were having a dynamic conversation about gender role reversal here, and I think we want to open it up to our floor. We do have a young man on the line. He's actually a close friend of mine who has some personal experience with this, because I don't want our audience to think that we are bashing, and we're not. We're just speaking from our own experiences and how we viewed it. So I do want us to get a little bit of a man's perspective, a man that actually did do the work. So, caller from Indiana, I'm unmuting your mic. D. White, are you there?
Yes, I am.
So tell me, were you a stay-at-home dad?
I was for probably maybe about a year, maybe two.
Okay. And how did that go?
I enjoyed it. You know, I got the kids off to school. If they had doctor's appointments, I took them to their appointments. I helped them with their homework. There was never, my mother always raised me, and my father always raised me to be considerate. So, when, you know, the mom would come home or whatnot, she never had to worry about, you know, what's for dinner or, you know, anything like that, because I would make sure that that's already done. You know, I'll make sure food is done, wash clothes. I wouldn't fold the clothes, but I'll wash them. I'll leave them in the dryer, you know. But my point is, I would make sure that it was an easy transition for her when she had to come home. You know, you come home, you want to kick your shoes off, you want to relax, you know. You don't want to bombard somebody with a bunch of stuff, because you don't know what type of day they done had, and they don't know what type of day you done had. So it's like, when you don't really understand that, or if you don't really try to be conscious of that, you know, you can find yourself having arguments. You know, you bringing issues home from work to the house, and then, you know, now you, stuff that you've been dealing with all day, now you mad at them, so y'all both into it. But for me, because I worked third shift, so I was with the kids throughout the day. So for me, it was cool. You know, I enjoyed it. You know, of course, your kids gonna get on your nerves from time to time, but, you know, for the most part, you know, I enjoyed it. I really didn't have any, you know, complaints about it too much.
Okay, so with that, did you feel like less than a man? Did you feel insecure? Like, did you feel like you wasn't doing enough as a man, like doing your manly role?
No, because they were my kids. Like, what greater role than that is to be a father? No, I didn't feel like less of a man. I mean, I was still working. It was third shift, but, you know, I was still working. Now, if I was, you know, I don't know, sitting at home playing Xbox or something, I don't know. I can't really, I can't speak for I can't really make an opinion about that. I mean, I can look on the outside looking in on it. I've never been one of those guys that wasn't proactive with my kids and things like that, because I saw what my dad did for me coming up, and I knew what I wanted to do for my kids and things of that nature. So for me, it was just different.
Okay. So do you feel like there are certain roles that a man is supposed to do and a woman is supposed to do, or do you feel like it can be a shared, collective type of group?
I think it definitely needs to be a shared effort, and all that goes with knowing who you with, and that's really what it is, knowing who you with, because you need a balance. You know, the man can't do everything, the woman can't do everything. You know, there's only so much with a young lady that a man can do. A man can't teach a girl how to be a woman. Now, he can teach her what's expected of her, but as far as her feelings and how she thinks and her emotions and things like that, you know, he won't be able to identify with that to a certain degree. Same way with a woman. A woman can't teach a boy how to be a man, but she can teach that boy what's expected of him, how he should act and what's required of him. But as far as his feelings, how he feels, how he looks at certain things, you won't be able to identify with certain aspects of that. So you definitely need a balance, and it's about knowing what role works. It's about knowing what role works for your particular relationship, because what me and my wife might do as far as parents, and that may not work for you and your household and vice versa. So it's really about what role works.
Okay, so I have one more question, I'm sorry. Did you feel like in the instance of you raising your daughters and even your son, do you feel like you can be a bigger nurturer?
Say the last part, that I feel like I need a what?
Do you feel like you can be a better nurturer than your wife can be, or their moms can be sometimes? Like, can a man be a better nurturer than a woman?
Yeah, I think so. It depends. Like, once again, that depends on the relationship that you have with that child. You know, it's going to be situations to where, you know, you're going to be more, one parent is going to be more understanding towards certain things than the other parent might be. So in that instance, you know, that one parent may be more nurturing and more, you know, available for what that child may need mentally or emotionally or whatever the aspect of what the child needs. So I think that goes along with the type of bond that you have with that child.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your comments. And, brother, it's always a pleasure to have you. We're going to go to a few other... What the fuck? All right. We're going to go to a caller in Milwaukee. Last four digits, 5700. All right. Caller, do you have any questions or concerns for our panel?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, I can hear you.
Hi, everyone.
Okay.
So I was just listening in, and I heard what everybody said, and I do agree to a certain extent, and I definitely agree about, you know, the slave days and stuff like that. But I'm just going to speak from my experience and a lot of young ladies who grew up the way that I did, you know, in the hood. Okay? And, you know, I wasn't raised to be independent. My grandma and them was like, you better get you a man with some money. Don't be bringing that broke boy around here. You know what I mean? So we dated older guys, you know, men to provide at some kind of degree. You know, but the thing is, the difference is, you know, like gentleman was saying how, you know, women back in the day, men came to us. We were the guide, you know. So now you got these white women in these other cultures who men treat them like they ain't nothing. They got to wear covers on their face. They can't. They are nothing. So they treat men like he's a king. So our men get a whiff of that, and they like, oh, white girls better because they, or Asian girls are better, or you know what I mean?
because we're forceful, because we're used and been used to seeing the black women being dominant to the black men in our culture.
So, sister, I got a question for you. Are you proposing to a man?
Oh, no, I'm not doing that. But, see, they will because they look up to him. You get what I'm – that's where I was going. Like, the white women or the other cultures – I don't want to just say white women. But other cultures, they look at men as, like, the holy – like, oh, you know, when the men come around, they get quiet. Like, oh, don't talk. He's coming. You know, we don't do that. We still be loud. Like, oh, hey. You know, like – so we're it is a cultural thing. It is a cultural thing, but I wouldn't say that we were, I mean, I'm going back to the previous conversation as far as, you know, women being raised to be independent. I was definitely not raised to be independent, but it turned out to be that way. You know what I mean? Because I have a child. I'm on the phone, boy. My son just had to jump in. We are, you know, we it just ended up being that way because we jumped the line when we're like 19 and 20. We are out dating 27-year-old men or 20, you know, trying to get that provider. And older men do like younger women. But then we skip over the guys our age that go to school, and then they go to school and they run into Becky, who's like, oh, my God, you know, you're going to be a, you know, they encourage them. And we don't. We like, it's sad, you know. We don't. A boy, a black guy that's going to school and stuff, generally it's like, oh, he's square. He ain't got no money. He can't do nothing for me. Because a lot of our women, our elder women, are teaching us to go after that man that he got a car. He got his own house. Girl, you need to go and be, you know. So we don't stay in our lane as far as that. And no, I'm not. No, I'm not proposing to a man.
Okay, I feel you, sister. I completely understand, because I'm not getting down on my knees and proposing to no man either. We're going to go to a couple of other callers later, but before we do that, I want to talk about our lineup for Time for Awakening Media, which is an affiliate of Black Reality Think Tank. We have a show from 11 to 1 o'clock, African Perspectives, hosted by Brother Oshi. At 6 p.m., we have on Monday, we have 6 p.m. to 8 o'clock a.m., Acres of Diamonds, hosted by Brother Zahid Ahmed. And then also on Monday from 8 till 9, we have Black Therapy Central, which is hosted by Dr. Mayada Kambone and Nakita Kambone. Also on Monday from 9 to 10, Conversations of Reparations, first and second, third Monday. On Tuesdays, we have Black Reality Think Tank, hosted by Dr. Rogers. And then Thursdays, you have us, the host of, I mean, After Seven Ladies, hosted by myself, Danny B. And then on Fridays, we have Time for an Awakening at 8 to 10. Saturdays, Black Sisters Talk, from 4 to 6, hosted by LaQuanda Chambers. And then also 7 to 9 on Saturday, we have the Elders of Sankofa, hosted by Alfonso Watkins. And then on Sundays, we have from 7 to 10, we have Time for an Awakening, Black Farmers Program, which is coming in August. Before we get into anything else, I want to go to a few other listeners. Caller from Milwaukee, 7268, you are live and on the air.
How's it going?
How's it going? So hello. What do you think about our topic?
It's interesting. I think it's something that needs to be addressed, because of the simple fact, I think that a lot of things are still a narrative of tradition. And I think that in this crazy time that we're in right now, I think a lot of things could be changed. Not saying that it's necessarily something that needs to be a dominant factor, but definitely think that it's a time in this world where we can be a little bit more creative. So I guess we'll reverse roles and the proposal topic. I could see it uniquely happening, but I don't think it's something that needs to be like contagious or something that's just consistent in everybody's relationship.
So you're not letting Sadie Hawkins get on one knee for you, huh?
I mean, it would be impressive, but it's nothing that I'm going to gloat or boast about. I would be sitting here lying if I told you that it wasn't something that I've ever discussed with somebody before, but it's not something where I would get agitated or be like, oh, why you can't propose to me? It's not that serious to me, but if it did happen, I mean, I think it'd be kind of dope, but it also probably be a little bit awkward. Yeah, it'd be a little bit awkward because it'd feel like the dominance is gone in that type of tradition. But I mean, like I said, in the times we live in right now, nothing is really off the table.
Okay. So do you think it's frowned upon for black women to be strong versus white women to be raised to be, I guess, I don't know, that we're raised different. And I don't want to put it on a white and a black thing, but the reality is black women are taught to overcome obstacles. We have so many different obstacles in our way. We don't have a good, clean, easy pathway. We got to work 10 times more hard. So what do you think about that, brother?
I agree. I definitely agree. I think the cycle does need to be broken. I think there's a lot of factors that contribute to that. I think it starts with home in general, like our upbringing. And I think that becomes an issue. Our experiences becomes an issue, whether it's with home or relationships in general. Things like that can be substantial when it comes to how you approach matters in that magnitude. So I would honestly say that when it comes to that it's cool. I think it is very attractive for women to be strong, especially our black women, but I think there needs to be a little bit more leniency, because that's where the whole competitive nature comes from, or the intimidated factor of white girls, Becky, or the Asian girl, or the Hispanic girl, and why men tend to veer in that direction. And I think it's a little give and take on both ends as far as the male and the female is concerned. And I think that's a big problem. I think there's a lack of compromising nowadays, which leads to a bigger crisis. And then it leads to a lot of venturing or even just contemplating in general. And I think that's something that needs to be addressed. But it can't be addressed if it's not communication involved.
Mm-hmm. And I agree, because I'm like cast out in some situations. I ain't doing none of that. But I'm going to go to the next caller. Caller from Chicago. I have last four digits of your number, 7370. What do you think? Hi, how are you? Welcome.
I am great.
After seven. All right, so do you have any questions or comments for the ladies or of After Seven, or anything that you heard that stood out?
I think I have comments. Like, for instance, my family, like, I grew up in a household where my parents kind of switched off and on. There was a time when my dad was home. Oh, my stepdad. I grew up with a stepdad. When my stepdad was home and actually raising us while my mother worked, and vice versa. And even now, my brother, he actually is a stay-at-home dad, and his wife works, and their relationship works for them. I can't say that I would necessarily be okay with that, because the type of person I am, I work so hard. I'm not sure that I would. I don't think I would be okay with a guy that didn't work. But for some people, that works. You know what I mean? It just depends on the dynamic of the relationship, and I think everybody's relationship is individual. Mm-hmm. Relating to would I propose to a guy, I don't think I will. However, I am a woman that will ask a man out. Like if there's a guy that I want to date, it might take me a little while, but if he's too slow on the buck, then I'll just be like, hey, you know, will you go on a date with me? I personally have not seen it turn out successful. Like, it hasn't led into a long-term relationship. It might lead to a date, you know, but I find that it just kind of puts guys in a different mindset, so it doesn't really like puts them in a comfortable space. So I think that's why I would be hesitant to propose. I did like what the doctor mentioned about how in our actual culture, because I am a Black woman, in our culture, women are the matriarch. You know, even in the village, the woman was the leader. She's the queen. She's, you know, who they actually would go to. So it is definitely a European concept for the male to be the lead. And I also like one of the comments about how even I didn't even think about it, and it made me think about it or sparked that thought of how even we do react different to men in comparison to women of other races relating to when they come around or how we look at them and how we value them. You know, they just kind of put, especially Black men, they're in other races, they're put on pedestals, you know, and it's like, for us, it's like, hey, you know, what are you bringing to the table? Because I'm over here doing everything. So, but I definitely appreciate the topic, and thanks for letting me chime in.
Okay, well, thank you so much. That was great feedback. Wow, ladies of After Seven. Oh, my God, we got a lot of great feedback from our audience members. And, you know, I didn't get to ask y'all the question. I'm going to start off with Katie. Katie, you proposing to a man or no? Absolutely not. Why not, girl?
Not interested. No, I think that moment is sacred to a woman, and I would hate for that to be taken away from me. I don't even want the wrong guy proposing to me, let alone me proposing to somebody. I'm going to value that. So, no, I would not.
Okay. Well, Veronica, excuse me, Lady B, yay or nay? Proposing, getting down on one knee, Sadie Hawkins Day, are you participating?
Nah, definitely not. Like, I draw the line there. I might be okay with, you know, stay at home thing and stuff, but I'm definitely not getting on my knee asking you to marry me just because, like Sadie said, I want that experience. Like, women want to feel that specialty. Like, if you know I'm your wife, then you're gonna ask me. Like, don't wait for me to ask you. You should be asking me. And then I'm kind of old school. Like, I like the whole concept of asking my dad for my hand in marriage. Like, my ex, he did ask my dad and my mom, both of them, if he could actually marry me. So I liked that. So that's what I want.
Okay. All right. So Maya Marie, you buying any iced out bands? Future husband getting on your knee. Is that what you're doing, sis?
Not at all. Not at all. No, I'm definitely not doing that. I agree with the ladies, Tavy and Lady B. I'm not doing that because I want that moment. And I think that we as women, we deserve that moment. And I would hate for, I think I'm real old school when it comes to dating. You know, like I was saying, my grandparents were married for 60 years. My mother was the baby. So for a long time, we lived with my grandparents. So I watched how my grandfather took care of the house, took care of the family, you know, and he was the man of the home. So I'm really, really old school when it comes to dating and that kind of thing. Like, I feel like I believe in courting. I believe that a man is supposed to woo a woman, and, you know, as far as courting and dating and things like that. So I'm never going to propose to a man. I might ask you out. I might ask you out, see if you want to hang out with me. We can go out and kick it. But as far as proposing, proposing, I'm not going to do that.
Why do we propose too? Like, how does this go? I said, do we bring the men flowers too? How does that go?
Yeah, no, I'm not doing that either.
Do you bring flowers?
No, I want you to woo me. I want you to court me. You know, men are hunters.
they are the ones who, you know, they are the ones that hunt and pursue the women. So, I've always been raised that way as far as dating is concerned, that the men should pursue the woman. I've always been raised like that, and that's what I grew up seeing.
Mm. Okay. Well, we have another caller that I want to get to. Wisconsin number, last four digits, 5407. 5407, Exchange, you are on the air. Do you have any questions or comments for our guest? I mean, for our panel? Hello? All right. I guess they're just here to listen. So, does anybody, have y'all ever had a friend that proposed to anybody? Does anybody have, like, any firsthand experience with that?
Mm-mm.
No.
Okay. I'm going to be honest. I think I may talk about my girl. Like, I'll be like, girl, are you crazy? I'm going to have to talk her off that ledge. I'm sorry. No, we are not about to embarrass ourselves. We're not doing this. Not today.
You're off the street. Oh, man, that's so funny. We ain't doing none of that.
Mm-mm. So I'm going to pass on that.
Like, buying your own wedding ring. What about that? What y'all do?
What you mean buying it? Do you mean like picking it out?
No, I mean buying.
I paid for my wedding ring. He didn't pay for it.
Yeah, he didn't pay for it. Remember, it's supposed to be like, I know this is not African tradition or anything like that, but I think it's like 3 months of his salary. Like, buying your own wedding ring. Like, if he proposed with the ring that she bought, like, is that kind of like trading spaces? And I don't know. What y'all think about that?
I'm not coming to.
Definitely not.
You what?
I said I'm not coming.
I'm not doing
it.
That's another cat. I'm not doing none of that.
None of that. No.
None of that.
No.
Yeah. No part. Like if you can't, I hate to sound like that, but if you can't buy the ring, you can't. I mean,
you shouldn't
know.
Be trying to get married.
You shouldn't. You should hold off, little bro.
Exactly.
Off.
Get your money up.
Right. Like, I mean, get just give me what up. You can afford. I'm not saying go buy me some real life cheap, gonna turn my fingers green type of ring, but buy me something you can afford. But I'm not buying my own ring. Like,
no.
Honestly, I'm not about to do that.
I don't really want to. Dr. Rogers, what he thinks about this, and I know he probably likes to just listen to us, but Dr. Rogers, have you ever, I know this is probably not something that you want to respond to, but have you ever been proposed to, or has any woman ever asked? I mean, I don't know, because I know our generation is completely different from your generation. Can you help us out here? Okay, I think Doc walked away for a little bit, but I do want to talk about that. As far as the roles are reversed, you know, from a historical viewpoint or from back in the day, you know, like, do you guys think it's more accepting for a woman to be stronger now versus back in the day?
For a woman to be what?
I mean, for a woman to be a little bit more dominant. A little bit more aggressive.
I mean, we do childbirth. I mean, there's nothing stronger than that. So how much stronger can we get?
I mean, yeah, but I think some people are doing a little bit too much. Like, we gotta wear the pants in a relationship in some cases. And I don't want to put nobody's business out there, but I've heard conversations of friends talking about how they're doing so much. And they're pretty much wearing the pants in a relationship. You're wearing the pants in a relationship, and I don't know how I feel about that. What do you guys think? Like, do you guys know? No response? Katie?
No, I'll respond. I mean, I know for me, I do a lot. Granted, me and my other half, we are not together. We co-parent. We go through this cycle of we're together, not together type of thing. But I feel like for him, he has so much going on. He still got some stuff that he needs to get together, period. And for me, I know I do a lot of stuff, and it's a lot. Like, it's a lot being a woman, having to take care of everything. I don't know if I can say I'm weak. I'm stronger than the women of our past, because they went through a whole lot more. But I do feel like I have to be strong, like I have to be dad and mom sometimes. But I'm not going to, like, I'm not going to discredit their dad, because he does do stuff. He just doesn't do what I feel like is enough, I guess, in my perspective. He does what he feels like is enough, just not what I feel like is enough.
Okay. All right. Maya, what do you think?
I'm not sure I understood the question.
Okay, well.
Repeat for me. Because I'm not sure I really understood it.
Okay, so we're just asking about just gender roles in general. You know,
okay.
Like, yeah, just gender roles in general. Like, do you feel like women nowadays just have, like, too much on their plate? Like, just gender roles in general.
Well, I feel like in today's society, because, you know, we are raised to be strong and independent, there may not always be a man around. Sometimes we can be very, we can come off intimidating, we can come off dominant, but I feel like that's where your partner needs to be, you guys need to start each other. So my most successful question, my most successful relationship has been the one where we are best friends. Like, we are like best friends. I am a homie. We can talk, we can share things. And so we're not looking at it. So it may be a situation where we're helping each other out. Maybe one day I cook. Maybe one day you cook. Well, I had a bad day, so you're going to take care of the household. So I think that it just depends on the situation and the type of relationship that you have with your partner.
Okay, all right. Well, Lady V, I'm going to kick it over to you, sis.
So I guess I have a question for you.
Yep, we can hear you. So are black women destroying the family because we're taking this more aggressive role or this strong, you know what I'm saying, role or stance on life?
I feel like there's a back and forth thing with it, because, like, with us having to take on the roles that we normally wouldn't, I don't want to say we are totally destroying our family. It depends on the situation. Like, if the dad is taken because of, like, justice, like he's in jail or something, that's something different. But if we're just kicking men out of our lives and now we're having to be the single moms on our own, or I don't even say kicking a man out of our life, because some of them, they just walk out our life, period. So I don't want to say that we're destroying it, but it does make it harder. You know, I think one of the ladies, I think me and you might have said that, you know, there have been some women that have raised strong black men, but for some, they can't do it. Like, I know for me, it's rough raising a boy, because my brother, he was so much older than I was. I'm the baby in my family, and so I didn't have to really see my brother get a whooping or something. So for me, I'm just like, I be wanting to strangle that little boy. And I be asking moms and boys, like, what do y'all do? Like, I be wanting to jack him up. He might be 5, but he a beast. I'm short. My son is already like 3/4 of my size. Like, he's huge. And I be wanting to beat him like a grown man because he's huge. But it's just like, I have to scale back. Like, he does have a father, but I don't want to have to call his father to chastise him for what he did in my house.
Okay, what do you think about
that? As far as destroy, that's a harsh word, destroy, but I think that for me, like, I have my daughter, she's 16, she'll be 17 in December, so it's very important that I instill in her to be an amazing woman, you know, so I need to carry myself as such. As far as, like, dating or who I have around her, the type of company I keep, you know, far as, like, hanging out, drinking, things like that, there's things I don't do in front of her because I want her to be a great woman, and I need to be that role model for her. So I think it starts at home, of course, and if the parent isn't strong-minded and understands how important it is to be a role model, I think it can destroy things, for sure. It surely can destroy things, but I don't think it's intentional either, because they're just doing what they were taught to do as well, their parents, and so on and so forth. So, yeah. So, it's possible, but I don't know if I want to say the word destroy.
Okay. Maya, did you get a chance to answer that?
I was just going to say I absolutely agree with Avi. I don't think that I would say destroy the black family, because I don't think any black woman wants to do that. You know, if the world were how we want it, everybody would be with their significant other and be raising their children in a successful black family. So I don't think that a woman, you know, a black woman is intentionally doing this, or that she's destroying it. I just think she is adapting to her environment. You know, she is adapting to her situation, and she knows, like, okay, my kid's father is not here, or he's incarcerated, or he just was never around, or whatever the case may be. She knows at the end of the day, she has to take care of her household. She has to be there for her children and take care of her children, whether that man is there or not.
Right. Okay. I feel you on that. I mean, at first when I saw this question, I'm like, do we destroy our families, the black family, by the way we raise our children? And we know for a fact that we raise our boys different than we raise our girls. You know, like, yeah, for our boys, we're less lenient. I mean, we're more lenient. You know, we prepare them a different way than we prepare our girls for the world. You know, and I know, you know, through discussion, we're tough on our girls. You know, growing up with my mom, I saw how she treated my brother. She, you know, pretty much catered to him. She protected him. You know, she coddled him. But with me, it was bam, bam, bam. You got to do this. You got to do that. No, no this, no that. So, I mean, like, I think when I'm talking about destroying, do you think that that's like, I know no one's intentionally doing it, but it does have an after effect, you know, and it's playing out right now on how we're dating, how we're receiving men, how we're able to open up to men, and how we're not able to be more feminine. So what do you think about that?
I agree with that. We're not able to be feminine or be too emotional or to show our soft side, period, because somebody might take advantage of you. So that's what a lot of us were taught. So we hold firm to that, and we try to avoid any pain or any, you know, any trauma. So we are strong, and we do what we have to do to make sure our, you know, family stay afloat. But I definitely think it's more the black community. I hate to say that, but it is. And it's a lot of us not together when it comes to families, and we work against each other. There's a lot of separation, and nobody wants to see each other win, or, you know, we aren't taught to work together for the most part to be great, you know. But I think it destroys us to a certain level. So destroy is fitting, I guess. But
crabs in a bucket mentality, yeah, like bringing each other down.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I'll even say this. I think that a lot of black women, I hate to keep saying black women because the black fathers should be a part of this too, but the black women, we, let's say like welfare situations and things like that, a lot of black women teach their daughters to follow that same cycle, so that's all she knows. Once she gets to that agency, they teach her to stay away from the father, or he owes you this, or, you know, he's wrong, and don't do this, don't do that with him. And they condition themselves. Even housing does that. You can't have that man stay here if you want to live comfortably, or you can't do this. So we put ourselves in a situation where it's going to take a lot to come back from, but it's a curse for sure. But yes, the destroy could be fitting in that. But go ahead.
Okay. Maya, what do you think about that question?
I think that we as women, we can, because, and I can only speak for myself as far as that's concerned, you know, I can be, and that's, I think the reason why a lot of our women are not comfortable with being assertive, because they feel like they have to be softer for a man, and you don't have to. I think you can still be assertive. You don't have to necessarily be dominant. I think it's all about that, because there are times when I feel like I do need to be assertive. There are times that I feel like I do need to be a little dominant, aggressive. And in those times, that's when I do that. I have to do that. But there are times when I'm interacting with someone and I do show a softer side. Or if I'm dating someone, I have to let the man lead a little bit. You know, all about balance for me, as far as that's concerned. You know, I don't think that, you know, as Black women, we bad rap, that we got attitudes and we aggressive. I let the man be a man. And for some people, that is the case. But speaking for myself, I can say that I'm able to turn it on and off when it comes to that, being dominant, being assertive, and then showing a softer side.
I agree.
Okay. Oh, my God. Lady
B? Lady B?
Yeah, I'm like, I suck at that. Like, I don't know how to turn off my dominance. Only because I think more so because I've been doing it for so long, I don't know how to turn that off. That kind of sucks. I may have to take a note from you. Because, yeah, I would just do it. I have that I'm going to just do it attitude. And I feel like it stemmed from my mom. Like, my dad worked so much. I mean, granted, he did do a lot. He did take care of our cars, the outside of the house. But it was a point in time where my dad worked 3 jobs. So it came to a point where if my mom asked him to do something, sometimes it got put on the back burner because if he was tired or at work, so she would just start doing stuff. And it just came to that. So that's how I am now to this day. I can ask somebody to do something. If you don't do it, I guess in my time frame, I'm about to do it by myself. So... oh, my God, that's crazy. I just thought about that. I am very dominant when it comes to any and everything. Like, I just don't let people do half a crap for me some days. Just because if you say no or if you just don't do it when I need you to do it, it's going to get done, period. Like,
but you just had an aha moment.
I did. Because I'm just like, I'm going to do it. Like, okay. If I need a tune-up on my car, I'm about to just do it. If I ask you, it take you a week to do it, I'm about to do it myself. And I do see that takes away from a man sometimes, because then men start asking, well, what am I here for? And I turn to them, ask you too, like, well, what are you here for? Like, what are you bringing to my table that you're here for? Because if you can't take something off my plate, like, I got several plates in front of me. If you can't take something off of it, then you need to walk out my door. You know, you need to bring something.
I can't you with that, because I set my life up to where I take care of myself, where I don't need anything. On that end, and that could be why I've never been proposed to or not married, but I have set my life up like that, but that's all because I don't want to be disappointed again.
Right.
So, that came from me growing up. I felt so much disappointment, I tried to avoid that, but I'm also setting my life up to where I could be old and alone, you know, so that's something that we all, you know, a lot of us need to figure out before it's too late.
Right. Okay. This is great dialogue. Oh, my God. We had an epiphany. You know what I'm saying? I mean, a whole bunch of great dialogue. So we're approaching the last few moments of our show. You know, I definitely want to give us or whatever the opportunity to give some last-minute remarks. So, you know, don't fight first. I think I want to go to Ms. Tavy. Can you close us out with your last-minute remarks?
I too enjoyed this conversation for sure. Definitely understood I need to work on some things with myself. But I think as a community, as a Black community, we all need to try to do better. And it doesn't necessarily have to be just in your home, you know, with your friends, your family members, just, you know, helping them do better or
a better understanding or listening or, you know, just communicating with one another more and just being real, you know, having real conversations like this. Because I think things will change, you know, if we keep talking about things like this together. But thanks, everyone, for listening.
I say, getting us back to we, you know, I appreciate that. Thank you for uplifting that. Lady V, you got any last minute closing remarks?
Only thing I guess I would say is I don't look down on gender reversal. Like, we've come a long way since a woman not being able to get a job, do a job, where we are holding higher positions. So I don't feel like it shouldn't be frowned upon for us as Black women to go out and make the money. I don't feel like a man should feel insecure about that, because sometimes life happens. Like, if you lose your job and you have to stay at home with your family while your wife goes out and works, that doesn't make you less than a man if you're still taking care of home in some kind of way, form, or fashion. But I do draw the line at clothes. I'm going to just throw that out there. I'm going to draw the line right there. Other than that, yeah, that's all I
got to
say.
On February 29th, Lady Hawkins Day, you not getting down on one knee.
I'm not. Not at all. Valentine's Day, no day. I'm not getting down on one knee proposing. I will take you to the store and we can pick out my ring, and you better pick out a day when you're going to get down on that knee, but I'm not doing it. But other
Are
than
you
that,
buying I'm that getting, ring?
Am I buying that ring? No, I'm not.
Are you
buying? No, ma'am. He better finance. I'm not. So, you know, that's just how I feel about it. But I commend all our stay-at-home dads, because, and even our moms out there, because I'm sorry, it's a job. I was a stay-at-home wife for a year and a half. No, well, 2 years actually. It's a whole job. I would never discredit a stay-at-home anything, because it's a whole job.
All right. Thank you so much for that. And Maya Marie, you know, we're going to let you give your last few minutes, you know what I'm saying, closing remarks for the show. And also uplift some aha moments. You know, I know you had them.
Well, first, I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank Dr. Rogers, all of our listeners, the callers who had something to say, that shared their viewpoints with us. I want to thank all of you for listening. We appreciate you. Secondly, as far as my last parting words or, you know, about the show tonight, I just want to say that it depends on you and your situation. It's good for us to have this dialogue. It's good for us to talk about these types of things, because when you do that and you communicate with each other, get different viewpoints. You learn something. So it's always good for us to have dialogue and to talk about these things and share our viewpoints, because you may learn something that you didn't know before. So I'm thankful and I'm grateful for that. I'm with B. I'm going to draw the line with the proposal in the ring. I'm not doing none of that. Yeah, that's just not happening. I'm not buying my ring, and I'm not proposing. If you want me, you're going to have to come and get me. but as far as gender roles being reversed, I'm not against it, because I think that it depends on your situation. I don't think you're less of a woman if you do a man or a manly job, or you're doing some things that in your household that men do, just as well as the opposite. I don't think that you're less of a man because you may do things that women do. You know, I dated a guy once who felt like he was very misogynistic, and he felt like as a woman, I was supposed to cook and clean all the time. He was supposed to buy the food, and I was supposed to cook it all the time. So every time he talked to me, it's what you cook, what you do. I'm not with all of that. So I think that we need to share those roles. And if they're reversed, so be it. As long as you're being a real woman about yours and he's being a real man about it.
I say, oh my God. You know, I learned something from you, and I know you shared that story about your family member before, but just hearing it broken down and, you know, like so many different variations of how he supports his spouse, his wife,
I mean, mm-hmm. I've learned a whole lot, you know, today. And thank you so much for sharing that and being so transparent. And I also want to our guests and our listeners, you know, here on After 7 Channel, you know, our objective is to get everybody back to a point where, you know, we're having these conversations, we're having this healthy dialogue, and, you know, we want to bring the Black family back together. So that's, you know, our mission here. We're trying to, you know, have these healthy conversations and not make these situations taboo. Next show is going to be September 9th. We're going to talk about sisterhood, so I hope you guys call in. We're going to have a dynamic guest on the show, author of, I want to say, My Sister's Keeper book, Tina Nixon. So I definitely want you guys to call in and be a part of that show as well. But until then, thank you so much for listening. You guys have a grand and glorious week. Bye.
Thank Bye, you, everybody.
Perfect, but we worth the picture still. I got smart, I got rich, and I got bitches still. And they all look like my eyebrows, thick as hell. Love yourself, girl, or nobody will. Know you a woman, I don't know how you deal. With all the pressure to look impressive and go out in heels. I feel for you, killing yourself to find a man that'll kill for you. You wake up, put makeup on, stare in the mirror, but it's clear that you can't face what's wrong. No need to fix what God already put his paintbrush on. Your roommate yelling, why you gotta take so long? What it's like to have a crooked smile. And when I tell you that you're beautiful, you can't be sure. Cause he don't seem to want you back, and it's got you asking. So all you see is what you lack, and not what you pack. Take it from a man that loves what you got. And baby girl, you a star, don't let him tell you you're not. Now is it real? Eyebrows, fingernails, hair, is it real? If it's not, girl, you don't care. Cause what's real is something that the eyes can't see, that the hands can't touch, that them bras can't be, and that's you. Never let them see your friend. And if you need a friend to pick you up, I'll be around. And we can ride with the windows down and the music loud. I can tell you ain't ready to move out, but I wanna see that if you smile. Perfect beauty queens, but we got dreams and we got the right to chase them. Look at the nation, that's a crooked smile, braces couldn't even straighten. Seem like half the race is either on probation or in jail. Wonder why we inhale, cause we inhale already. I ask if my skin pale, would I then sell like Eminem or Dell? But one more time for the veil, and fuck all of that beef shit, nigga, let's make a meal. They cell. Let my brother out of jail. I got money for the bill now. I'm well now. If you ask me.